It's Morning Edition from NPR News. Good morning. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm Renee Montaigne. Correspondents gathering news of Syria's uprising face two hard questions every day. The first is, what's happening? The second is, how to find out.
Reporters are occasionally granted access to Syria. A few, like our colleague Kelly McEvers, have even slipped in without permission. But they're mostly kept out, which means they and we rely on the kinds of people we will hear about next. Activists and citizen journalists are risking their lives to document the Syrian bombardment of the city of Homs. Kelly McEvers explains how they do it.
The offensive on Homs started when government troops began firing tanks, rockets, and mortars at neighborhoods that have been the most fierce in resisting the government throughout Syria's uprising. Mainstream journalists are barred from entering Homs, so a team of activists decided to record the offensive themselves. They positioned their cameras on top of buildings in Homs. Each morning, the view is blue sky, a minaret, a sea of rooftops. Then come the booms. The offensive is mainly centered on the neighborhood of Bab Amr. It's seen some of the most persistent protests against the government, and an increasing resistance by civilians who've taken up arms and soldiers who've defected from the army. Day in and day out, the video stream is up and running, recording the government offensive in real time. Then, last Thursday, a rocket hit the house where the activists were stationed. The screen goes gray with smoke. The camera keeps rolling. The picture of the rooftops eventually comes back into view. Then you hear the activists calling out to God as they discover the bodies of four women in the basement who were killed by the blast. Twitter and Skype are a flurry of messages. "Did I just watch someone die?" one activist writes. The rockets keep falling. Volunteers help the injured, and the camera team hits the streets. One of them is TV Ready. His name is Danny Abduldayim. He records this indignant stand-up in front of five bloodied children who were also injured by a rocket that day.
"They've been hitting us from 6 a.m. until it's 2 p.m. now. We have over 100 bodies. Look at the children. How can you stand and watch these children be like this?"
Danny has become a regular face in the coverage of the bombardment of Homs. With a Syrian father and a British mother, he's the perfect mix of local and international. His videos have been all over the BBC, CNN, and Al Jazeera. This video was shot in a field hospital as Danny walks through gruesome heaps of dead and injured people.
"We're not animals. We're human beings. We're asking for help. We're asking for your help. They're hitting us with rockets. They've been nonstop with us rockets for 4 hours now. They're going to kill us all. If we don't help us, they'll kill millions."
Danny recently left Homs and sat down for an interview. Before Syria's uprising, Danny studied business management. Now, he's one of the most wanted men in the country. For his protection, we can't disclose his location.
"If they catch me, I'll be in pieces."
But still, Danny says he'll go back to Homs soon.
"You don't think about your safety. You just think about, I'm going to do as much as I can before they get me. I'm going to do as much as I can before a rocket comes on me or lands on me."
Zainab Tefekci researches the power of social media in the Arab uprisings at the University of North Carolina. She says on one hand, Danny and the activists' work documenting the violence makes it impossible for the international community to stand by and do nothing while the Syrian regime kills civilians. But it could also make it difficult for the regime to consider any kind of peace agreement in the future.
"This kind of visual imagery of how horrific it all is might make it harder for the regime to try to negotiate something, because they probably are thinking, and probably not incorrectly, that people are not going to forget this."
As for Danny, he says he hopes that once the Syrian revolution is over, he can just go back to being a regular guy.
"I just want to go back to my life, listen to music, see my friends, and forget about all this."
But he admits it might be a long, long time before he gets there, if ever. Kelly McEvers, NPR News.